I'd like you to open up to Mark chapter 4. We're going to take a look at a passage that, as I've shared in the past, is one of those passages that I think is inexhaustible as a source of sermon material. Mark chapter 4. So many different sermons that I've, shared in the past over this and things that I've taught relative to it, and we're going to look at it again. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. Is everybody there? I want you to see this. Praise the Lord. I say, is everybody there? You guys are still looking. Everybody there? Praise God. Everybody's there. Anyway, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. At the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Jesus saith unto the disciples, the apostles, so forth, let us pass over unto the other side, because he had been ministering on the seashore and so forth. And when they had sent away the multitude, I get a kick out of that. When they had sent away, have you ever noticed we never have to chase people away from here? When the service is over, people just take the hint and they leave. But here, Jesus, well, he had to send them away. Go home. The anointing, the anointing has left the building. Hallelujah. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they did wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Does that sound like a logical question to you? Not to me. Why are you so fearful? Before I get digressed on this one, let's just keep reading. How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, let's catch this scenario. They're in the boat. They're trying to get from point A to point B. Why? Because Jesus said so. Did he not? Let's go across. It was his idea. Okay? And as everybody knows, when you're doing what the Lord tells you to do, you're not supposed to encounter problems. Because if you encounter problems, that's a sure sign you heard from the devil and not Jesus. Did they encounter problems? When? Were they in the boat? Yeah. Who was with them? Jesus. Did Jesus have a problem? No. They had a problem. But how come Jesus, if they're in the same boat, how come they had a problem and Jesus didn't? So how you look at it. So Jesus, he's in the back of the boat, and he's asleep. He's been ministering all day. A lot of people have been healed, delivered, set free, demons cast out. Powerful things have happened. So he's back there asleep. And they're doing row, row, row your boat. Trying to get to the other side like Jesus said. Well, the wind blows, and the sea begins to rage. The waves begin crashing over the boat. And the boat is filled with water. Now, it wasn't 100% filled, or they would have gone down. Filled with water means they're at the point of going down. And so, Peter, you say, how do you know it was Peter? Trust me, it had to have been Peter. He leads this processional slosh, 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 slosh. You know, they're wading through water, are they not? And to go to Jesus. What was Jesus doing? How in the world can you sleep in the middle of a storm like that? Any of you ever had trouble sleeping when a hard rain hits? We're not talking thunder and all lightning, just a hard rain. Had trouble the rain pounding against the window and pounding it against the house. But Jesus is asleep in this thing. And so, they go back and they say, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus gets up. And what's he step into?
Water.
In other words, he steps into their problem. And what does he do? He rebukes the wind, speaks to the waves, peace, be still. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just too caught up in my imaginations and my movie going. But this is a perfect scene for Star Wars. You know, the Force. He speaks to it, and everything stops. And they're still scared. What manner of man is this? Why even the wind and the waves obey him? And they were exceedingly fearful. Why would you be afraid when Jesus shows up? Because they didn't know what they were dealing with. All of a sudden, they have seen a dimension of God's anointing operating through a human being. Let me ask you a question. The whole time that Jesus was back there asleep, at any point in time, could he have stood up and did what he did at the moment that he did it, prior to that moment? At any point, sure he could have. It wasn't that the anointing doesn't work until you're just about to go under. But he was sleeping. He was asleep. Everything was fine to him. But they're all in the same boat. Now, let's look at this for a little bit. In verse 37, it says that there arose a great storm of wind and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. These guys, some of them, were sailors. Well, they were fishermen. They were used to being out in the water. They were used to boats. They knew what they were doing. It's not like this was new stuff to them. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think they'd ever encountered water in the boat before? Okay, what do you think they did when they got water in the boat? Bailed it out. Of course they did. But it says here that the boat was full. Now, what does that mean? That these guys just stood there and just like, well, what do we do here? The ship's filling up with water. What do you think, Peter? Well, I don't know. Just kind of stand here and watch it go down, I guess. I've never been in a situation like this. No. It would have said, what do you mean, what do? You bail. Well, what do we bail with? It doesn't matter. Anything you can get your hands on, you bail with. Your hat. Even if you have to make a little like bucket with your coat, or just bail, bail. And so they're bailing. Even though Scripture doesn't say they were bailing, you know they were. Just a logical thing to do. But it says the boat was full. What does that tell us? It tells us there was more coming in than there was going out. Right? Don't you wish your bank account was like that? Hallelujah. There is more coming in than there was going out. They're doing everything they can. And they're frustrated. They're scared. They think they're about to die. So they go back here to Jesus. Look in verse 38. He's asleep. Do you think they wondered why he was sleeping? Do you think they wondered how can he be asleep in this? Now, wind, waves, the boat has to be doing this, right? Jesus is sleeping. He doesn't need Dramamine. Everything's fine for Jesus. And so they make their way back to the boat and they say, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? Now, what do you think they were wanting him to do? Do you think that they were wanting him? Do you think they went back and said, Jesus, will you get up and speak to the wind and the waves? No, because when he did, it scared them. They didn't expect him to do this. What did they expect him to do? Bail water. Jesus, we've got a problem here. Don't you understand? How can you sleep? The wind is blowing. When wind blows really hard, does it make noise? Okay. But Jesus is asleep. So the wind is blowing. The ship is tossing and turning. And the water is filling the ship. And they're bailing, but they're not bailing fast enough. Now, have you ever been working and you look over and you see somebody who's a slacker? You ever developed an attitude? You think they might have had an attitude toward Jesus right at the moment? What's wrong with you? Don't you care? Why aren't you helping us?
All you want to do is sleep. Sleep and raise the dead. That's all you want to do. Will you get up and help us? And so, Jesus, they wanted to bail. They figure, you know, we need all hands on deck. They want Jesus to bail. So Jesus gets up. Does he bail? No. He does something that makes no sense whatsoever. He starts talking. And what does he talk to? Them? Well, yeah, but when it comes to the problem, when he comes to the situation, he begins talking. He doesn't bail. Now, think about this whole scenario. When the disciples looked at this, from their perspective, what was the problem? The boat is full of water. When Jesus looked at this, what was the problem? The wind. Not even the waves. What were the waves a byproduct of? The wind. They saw the problem as a boat full of water. Jesus saw the problem as the thing producing the boat full of water. Now, when's the last time you saw wind? You've seen the results of wind, but when's the last time you saw wind? You've never seen wind. These guys thought the problem was in the natural. Jesus saw the problem was in the unseen. He saw that the source of this problem was something they could not specifically identify. Where'd the wind come from? Who knows? We know where the water came from, but where'd the wind come from? Well, we don't know. It's just like it's there, and it's causing the waves, and the waves are filling up the boat. Jesus, you've got to help us. We want you to bail. Now, what if Jesus had dealt with the problem the way they wanted the problem dealt with? They might still be bailing. They wanted Jesus to bail them out. Right? Jesus wanted to deal with the problem. Here's why. You deal with the problem, you don't have to bail. They wanted Jesus to bail them out. Jesus said, fellas, you don't understand. Well, I'm paraphrasing here. Guys, you don't understand. The problem is not the water in the boat. The problem is what causes the water to be in the boat. Because if we stop the real problem, which is something you can't see, it's the wind, then that's going to give you the opportunity to overpower the water that's in the boat and empty the boat of the water, solving the natural result of the unseen cause. Do you see this? So Jesus, they went to Jesus with a problem. Now listen, they already had in their mind what the solution was. They already had in their mind an expectation of how Jesus was going to solve this problem for them. Bail water. But when Jesus woke up, he looks and he sees what's going on, and he realizes the problem's not the water in the boat, the problem is the wind causing the waves, causing the water in the boat. So Jesus sidesteps this whole thing from their perspective, and he looks at it from a completely different angle, and he goes directly to the source of the problem, something nobody could see. But they did see the results of it. As he began speaking to this problem, the problem began to change. The wind stopped, the waves stopped. Was there water still in the boat? Yeah. Let me ask you a question. What if they had gone to Jesus the first 6 inches of water in the boat? Why did they wait until the boat was full and ready to go down? It's because they were trying to solve the problem their way, and they saw the problem as water in the boat, not the unseen. And then when they finally came to the point They really didn't come to this point, but I'm just going to say they did. When they finally came to the point of understanding that the problem is not the water in the boat, the problem is something we can't see or deal with, that's when they went to Jesus and said, Jesus, you got to bail us out, man. We got a problem here. Help us. Give Jesus a bucket. Give him the biggest bucket for sleeping so long. They waited until the water was ready to take that boat down. I can tell you right now, the boat was not going to sink. So how do you know that? Well, now, wait a minute. Let me correct that. I was going to say the boat wasn't going to sink because Jesus had a mandate from God to go to the other side. The boat could have sunk. Jesus would have just walked on water to the other side. He said, fellas, I'm going. See ya. In other words, what I'm saying is this. When we go to God with our problems, we're asking Him to deal with the manifestation of the unseen thing that's caused the problem. And listen, you and I both know that when we go to God with a problem and we start praying about it, we already have in our mind what the solution should be, do we not? We already know the way that we think the thing should be dealt with. I've got a money problem. Don't have any money in the bank. I don't have, just, you know, behind on the bills and blah, blah, blah. And all that. God, you got to help me here. You got to help me. You got to bail me out. So what's the answer? More money. What if that's not the solution? What if there is something unseen that's causing your money problem? Well, I'd know it if there were. These guys didn't. And it was blowing in their face. They didn't recognize the problem was unseen. All they were dealing with was the natural manifestation of the unseen cause. Often, really, most of the time when we go to God and we pray about the problems that we have in life, I don't care what it is. It could be a physical affliction or something like that. It could be money problems. It could be a lack of peace, or it could be confusion. It could be problems in the family. It could be, all kinds of things. And we go to God and we begin to pray about these things. We, you know, Pastor, will you pray with me? Yeah, I'll pray with you. Call our friends. Call the prayer hotline. I'll pray with me. Pray with me. Pray. And in our minds, we already have an idea of what the solution is. And yet, God's not looking at it through our eyes. He's looking at it through His eyes. And He sees something different than what we see. Remember the lady that was bowed over for 18 years? What was the problem? What was the problem? Was it a physical affliction or something unseen? It was something unseen. It was a spirit of affliction. So what did Jesus do? Did He spit and make mud and rub it on her back? No. He spoke to the unseen problem. Woman, you're loosed. You're loosed. And she stands up. Made the preacher mad. He spoke to it. Sometimes you need to make mud, and sometimes you just need to talk. Now, that'd be a sermon, wouldn't it? I bet people listen to that tape, wouldn't they? Here in this whole passage, what you have is an example of two different perspectives and how to deal with a real problem. Two different perspectives of what the problem is. The disciples saw a natural problem. Jesus saw the invisible problem. He saw what was causing and producing the natural problem. Now I want you to look at something here. Look in verse 36. It says that they took him even as he was in the ship. Now look at the last part of this verse. What's it say? And there were also with him other little ships. Meaning there were other boats smaller than the one Jesus was in, and they were all going together to the other side. Now, if the big ship was full of water, what about the little ones? Have you noticed what these guys said in here? Their expression of concern was for themselves, not the other ships of disciples going with them. Jesus, we've got a problem. Jesus says, well, yeah, but everybody on this lake
has a problem. Do you think it's possible that there might have been ships on other parts of the lake that these guys couldn't see? They're on the south side. Do you think there might have been some on the east side that they couldn't see? Is it possible that other people might have been affected by this and nobody even knew about it, but the moment that Jesus spoke to the wind and the wind died down and the waves died down, everybody on that lake, everybody, no matter who it was, would have received an answer to their problem. It wasn't just... See, here's the thing. When we look at our problems, and it doesn't matter what they are, when we look at our problems and we begin to perceive what we think is the real problem, we're thinking, aren't we now thinking of ourselves as opposed to what other people are experiencing because of this thing? Think about, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that you have this problem, but kids on drugs. Why are your kids on drugs? And again, I'm not saying they are. We're using it. We're just creating an example here, an illustration. Why are your kids on drugs? Well, I don't know. I just don't. The unseen. You just answered your own question. It's you don't know. That's right. The unseen. There's something unseen happening that is motivating them to do this. Why is it that a lot of people, they only show up to church on Sunday morning and rarely show up on Sunday night or Wednesday night? Why is that? I don't know, Brother Martin. The unseen. Why is it that some people are having money problems? It's the unseen. See, if you're not, you can be operating in stupidity with your money and it's creating money problems. But there's something unseen that's motivating you to be stupid. In other words, in your mind, there is a convoluted state of logic that says, I can do this with my money and everything will be okay. Then you can't figure out why you're having so many money problems. And you think the answer is more money. No, the answer is you need to deal with the unseen. Everything in the natural, and I'm making a broad statement, I realize that, but everything in the natural is a byproduct of something unseen. I'm not saying demons are doing everything, okay? Don't misunderstand me here. But what I'm saying is, all too often, what we're asking God to do is to bail us out when He wants to stop the wind. All we're doing is asking God to solve what we see, but God's looking beyond the what we see to what's really causing the problem. He wants to deal with that. You know, we've talked in the past about praying in the Spirit, about people hitting impasses. And I've shared with you how some folks come to me and they say, oh, Pastor, things are miserable, things are lousy, I just don't want to go on and just... And I say, well, you know, it's an impasse. Oh, no, it's not that. Yeah, it is. No, it's not that. That's not what it is. Yeah, it is. No, if that were it, I'd know it. No, you wouldn't. That's why you're going through this right now. There's something in you that's unseen that you didn't know was there, that's been there, that the Holy Ghost is trying to help you to get out so you can go forward. There's something there. Why is it that people don't want to pray? Why is it people don't want to do this? There's something unseen happening. Why is it that you have a family member, a loved one, who has yet to accept Jesus Christ? Why is it they're rejecting what God can do in their lives? Is somebody holding a gun to their head and making them not accept Jesus? There's something unseen going on in their lives. Well, they're just blinded. By what? You mean they're walking around with a mask? They don't drive, do they? No, Brother Martin. I mean, they're spiritually blinded. Oh, so you can't see it, can you? Well, no, I guess not. What did Jesus do? He spoke to the unseen, did He not? What do we do? Ask God to deal with the natural. It amazed these guys that somebody could do this. Later on, Jesus makes a statement that says, the works that I do, you shall do also. I wonder if they thought about this when He said that. I wonder if they thought about the fact, gee, He spoke to wind and the waves calmed. You mean I can do that too? This is where many people, if we haven't already, heart on the path that we're walking in our relationship with God. It's because many people feel like He's got the whole world in His hands and He does whatever He wants to do, whenever He wants to do it, however He wants to do it, etc. and so forth. And they don't think about being able to stand up in the boat and speak to the wind. And they don't think about that they can do this. Oh, but Brother Martin, that's that hyper faith stuff. What does that mean? I'm serious. Okay, well, wait a minute now. Let's think. If that's hyper faith, speaking to wind and having a resolution to your problem, I want it. I mean, if that's what you want to define it, that define it however you want. You can call it dumb if you want to. I don't care. If it gets the results, I want it. If I follow Jesus as my example and He spoke to things that He couldn't see, I want it. He spoke to the fig tree. It died from the roots up. Where are the roots? In the ground. And that's a whole different sermon in and of itself. But not only that, there are other people affected by this. There are other people that are going to be impacted by what we do with the problems we face. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and talked about their problems as though they're a trophy. It's weird. I'm about to go under, Brother Martin. Really? Yep. Oh, hallelujah. Well, if you want to praise God, go ahead. I'll praise Him in the midst of it, but I won't praise Him for it. Because He didn't give it to me. Why praise Him for something He didn't give you? I just thank God for that time of sickness that I had. Why? I'd rather thank Him for the healing. God didn't give me sickness just so He could heal me. You know, what I'm getting ready to say to some people might sound really cruel, and I don't mean it to sound like that, but you know what we call wonderful testimonies, things we hear people share, and we, hallelujah, praise God. Maybe you can't think of any off the top of your head, but from this point on, listen, when people share things, testimonies. Most testimonies are of God bailing them out, not of the problem really being resolved. Let me give you kind of a vague example. The people that are always going from crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis, from meltdown to meltdown, over and over and over again, and their testimony is how God came through at the last minute, how right at the moment when we had absolutely nothing, right at the moment when they were about to repo the car, right at the moment when, boy, God came through, just like His Word says. And we, oh, amen, hallelujah, praise You, Jesus. I'm going to go out on a limb and probably get some stones for this one, but you ever heard of George Mueller? George Mueller ran a children's home back in the, what was it, 1800s, something like that? Late 1800s. And when you read his story, they never had anything. He never had food to feed these kids. And there would be times when they would set the table and they'd sit down at the table as though they had food. And there would come a knock on the door and somebody would come in with food. And they'd have food. They'd praise God for that. And we look at that as an example of living by faith. Now, I'm not trying to be offensive, but to me, that's bailout. That's not speaking to the unseen. With all due respect to George Mueller, and I thank God that he trusted and he did set an example in trusting God and so forth, but there was an unseen problem that was causing the lack of food and the lack of money and the lack of help. There was something unseen that needed to be spoken to. And I don't know that it ever was. Now, there was a lot of prayer and a lot of, you know, calling out to God that went forth. And yes, God did help them and God did come through. And I praise God for that. I'm not belittling that at all. But what I'm saying is, all too often what we do is we exalt these things, these testimonies
of people that it's just like over and over. It is one massive issue after another. And God came through. God came through. Okay, when do you go past critical mass and see the waves stop? You know what? When Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, you know what? They never rose up again. They made it all the way across to where they were supposed to be with no water problems anymore, no wave problems, no wind problems. That was it. It was over. Now, granted, they had to bail the water out of the boat that was in there. And Jesus might have helped them. I don't know. He's a pretty nice guy. But do you see what I'm saying in this? That all too often, we look at these bailout stories as being a magnificent move of God. And I'm not saying they aren't magnificent moves of God, but it's almost like we're envious of people having those kind of problems to see God move. I can tell you right now, nobody would have been envious of those disciples in that boat about to go down. Nobody. But the testimony would have been moving to the people who heard it. Wow, you mean the boat was about to sink? Yep, that's right. And what did he do again? Why, he just stood up in the boat and said, "Peace, be still." And the waves stopped, the wind stopped, everything was fine. Wow, I wish I could have been there. No, you don't. You don't want to be there. Jesus didn't live from crisis to crisis. He spoke to problems and he got results. I'm not saying that when you're truly living by faith, you're never going to encounter problems. Don't misunderstand me. Look at Paul. But you see, Paul's perspective was different. He never asked God to keep bailing him out. Go back and read Paul's life. He said, "Okay, yeah, I had problems, but here's the thing. I made it through every one of them. God saw me through every one of them. God, there was glory in every one of these problems." In other words, Paul didn't focus on the problems. He focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what he focused on. And too many times when you hear testimonies, it's just issue after issue after issue. It's barely getting by. It's barely keeping the lights on. It's barely having a can of beans in the house. It's barely having a car that will run. It's barely having this. And then it's like you get this, you know, reprieve for a couple of weeks, a reprieve for a few months, a reprieve for another few days. Guys, that is not the way it's supposed to be. That's a bailout. No, Brother Martin, that's walking by faith. No, that's a bailout. You're asking God to bring about a natural resolution to what you think is the problem. And God is looking down and He's seeing a greater issue. The issue is not whether He can or can't bail you out. The issue is, when are you going to open up your eyes and realize nobody has these kinds of problems all the time? Not if they recognize that there is something unseen happening. Now, some folks could take a message like this and construe it and twist it and mess it up to make it sound like that I'm saying you're never going to encounter situations, you're never going to encounter a hardship, you're never going to encounter challenges when you're truly serving God. I am not saying that. What I'm saying is this. The first sign of problem with these guys in that boat was when the wind was blowing. Now, these were, you've got to remember now, these guys that were fishermen, they were experienced on the water. They knew the difference between a calm breeze and a storm that's about ready to blow the boat over. But they waited. In other words, it wasn't, in reality, they recognized the problem was an unseen problem, but they didn't recognize that the problem was an unseen problem. They knew the wind, and they knew what was happening. At the first sign of this, what was their answer? I mean, really, what was the solution? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has said, "Go from here over to there." So somehow, some way, this storm has to end. Not just the water out of the boat, somehow, some way. Because see, even if they had gotten the water out of the boat, the wind and the waves were holding them back from reaching their appointed destination. And so they knew, they had a word from God. God said, "Go from here over to there." Jesus spoke that to them, and so they're obeying him. The answer to their problem was what? The word from the Lord. The answer to the problem was when Jesus said, let's go to the other side. That was the answer. Because they knew right then and there, I mean, if they had fully accepted that Jesus only acted on the authority of God, only acted on the instructions of God, if they had fully accepted that, they would have realized, wait a minute, Jesus is here serving the Father. Jesus is here serving God. He's opening blind eyes. He's raising the dead. He's doing all these things because God sent him. And if God told him to go from here across this lake over to the other side, then that's where we're going to end up. Now, I don't know how all this thing's going to pan out, but I do know this. This storm will not stop us. Something's going to happen to cause this storm to be rendered ineffective in keeping us from reaching our appointed destination. They already had the word from God. Go to the other side. Okay, now let's bring it home. What is God's word to you? Remember a few moments ago we used the example, why are your kids on drugs? Okay, let's do it this way. Why are your kids blank? Now you fill in the blank. Why are they there? What is that blank? Why is it like that? Well, I don't know, Brother Martin. Then it's unseen, is it not? Now what does God say in his word? That your children shall not be the prey for the enemy, right? Okay, you already have God's word. That is God's will. So now what do we need to do? Speak to the unseen. What is it that's trying to take your children prey? Is it drugs? Is it illicit behavior? What is it that's trying to take your children prey? Is it a cult? I don't know. What is it? Begin to speak to the unseen. Because there's something intangible that's happening that is moving on your kids to influence them to make these decisions. Now, you're not going to control their will, but you can have an impact on what is influencing them, the unseen. You see what I'm saying? Talk about your money problems. Is the problem that you don't have enough money? Or is the problem something that you can't see? Is the problem something that you don't understand? You looking for a job, can't find a job? Why not? Everybody else is getting jobs. But why aren't you getting a job? I don't know, Brother Martin. Then there's something unseen. God said he'd supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You need to be speaking to the unseen thing that's hindering you getting a job, whatever that would be. Whatever it would be. Whatever job you're supposed to have. Is this making sense to you? Are you seeing this? What's the downside? The downside is religion is going to tell you this doesn't work.
Oh, we just pray and trust the Lord.
To do what?
Bail us out?
You got a husband that's a jerk? You got a wife that's a moron? Why is that? You don't know! We won't identify that voice on this tape, hallelujah. Why? Is there something unseen that's moving on them? Because you see, you have to be completely, totally, absolutely 100% mentally. What's a good word to use that you can say publicly? Messed up. We'll use that one. Deceived. We'll use that one. Corkscrewed. We'll use that one. You have to be really messed up in the head to reject what God offers. You do. You say, well, they're messed up spiritually. Yeah, I know, but it's the head that makes the decisions. You see what I'm saying? You've got to be messed up in the head to reject what God is offering, especially when you see it right here in the Word. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Well, we just don't believe in that.
You screwed up in the head. All due respects. I'm not trying to be mean to you, so don't get offended at me. I'm just telling you, when God offers it in His Word, if you're not messed up in the head, then there is something happening that is unseen influencing you not to receive what God is offering. Do you see this? So what's the answer? Okay, well, the husband or the wife that's messed up, they're not going to talk to the unseen problem. You know why? They don't think they have one. They think you're the one that's got the problem. Well, who's got the biggest problem? Is it you or your spouse? You begin speaking to the unseen thing. Let me ask you a question. How much has your speaking to them change them. You're speaking to the manifestation of the problem. Do you see this? You're speaking to the natural thing. You're speaking to the tangible thing. And it's like talking to a brick wall. It ain't happening. Why is that? That's because you're trying to deal with the results of what the unseen is doing. And the unseen is moving on the husband, the wife, the mom, the dad, the kids, whatever it would be, is moving on them to influence them to make wrong decisions. Begin speaking to the unseen. You got a health problem? How many of you can see the cold? You can't. You see the manifestations of it, don't you? Runny nose, cough, you hear the manifestations, but you can't see it. Oh, it's there, little bitty virus, but you know what I'm saying here. Too many Christians, what we do is we're taught to seek God to bail us out instead of following the pattern that we see in Scripture. Jesus spoke to the unseen. He spoke to the real cause of the problem. He identified the real problem. They thought water in the boat was the real problem, and Jesus knew better. The wind was the real problem. So he bypasses what they thought, and he handles it his way. Guess who got results? Jesus. Because he handled it his way, dealing with the real problem, speaking to the unseen. Now, let me give you a practical example. Money. I can't see you right at this moment, but I'm telling you to come into this ministry in Jesus' name. Buildings, property, furnishings, equipment, supplies. I can't see you right now, but I speak to you and I tell you to come into this ministry for the use of the kingdom, for God's purposes, not mine, for Jesus' purposes, for the Father's will. You come in and you come in now in Jesus' name. What's the problem? The problem is not the tangible. The problem is what I can't see. Now, why aren't those things coming in? Why aren't they coming in? Why aren't they here? Because there's something unseen involved. There are people that are supposed to be in this church. Why aren't they here? Because there's something unseen operating in their lives. Now here's the thing. You deal with the when you're talking about people's lives, you deal with the unseen, you know what's going to happen. Eventually, their eyes are going to be opened to the point of realizing what they need to do. But you need to know in advance that doesn't mean they're going to do it. It just means they're going to become aware. Once they become aware, it's up to them to make that choice. But speaking to the unseen can cause them to become aware. And here's the thing about it, guys. Most people, when they truly become aware, they're going to respond according to God's word. Most people will. Okay, now what does this mean to us? What it means to us? Start speaking instead of bailing. Start speaking instead of asking God to bail you out. See, but Brother Martin, that just sounds so weird. No, it doesn't. It isn't weird. You talk to things all the time, tangible things. You talk to your car when it acts up, your computer. I know you talk to your computer when it acts up. It's a good thing we don't record what you say. Hallelujah. Become aware of the fact, and I'm not going to, now again, please, don't misunderstand me and think that I'm telling you there are devils involved in every little thing that goes on, okay? I'm not. But what I'm saying is this, start considering the possibility that most, I'm not going to say all, but most of your problems, maybe all, are a result or a natural result of something unseen that's been going on. Just consider the possibility. Just pray about it. Just think about it. Meditate on it. Look at this example here in Scripture and others. Start speaking. Jesus cast devils out of people.
Can you see a devil? Not unless you get your spiritual eyes, you know, that discernment to see. He's casting devils out, and I doubt if many people saw any devils leave those. You know what I'm saying? When he said, you know, come out, I don't think that everybody saw this little thing with, you know, horns and a pitchfork and a tail go running down the street. I don't think they saw that. But they saw the manifestation of the devil being gone. Remember the demoniac? Here's the weird thing about that story. These people have been having problems with this guy for who knows how long. And then he gets delivered and they get scared. And tell Jesus to leave. Weird. But that, and I'll just tell you right now, that's what will happen when you start speaking to the unseen. The religious mindset won't know how to handle you. But you're going to get results. What you really have to do is come to the place of believing that you can speak to the wind. Believing that you can speak to the unseen to bring about changes in the natural. Now, when you bring those changes about, you still may have to bail some water out of your boat. But you're going to solve the problem in the process. Now, Jesus, let's just get practical here, okay? Jesus spoke and it happened. For many of us, we might have to speak a second time and keep speaking and keep speaking because our faith might not be developed yet to the level of speak it once and get the manifestation. You with me? So just because you speak it once and you don't see an instantaneous change, please don't think this doesn't work. Instead, think in terms of the fact that maybe you haven't been doing this a whole lot in your life. And you're kind of having to redirect your approach to dealing with the problems. This message tonight, quite frankly, it will change your life if you do it. If you begin speaking to the unseen, begin to speak to the wind. It'll change your life. And you're going to start seeing results. You begin to see things happen the way God said in His Word. Again, you're not going to control the will of another human being, but you can sure bring about a change in the unseen things that are influencing people to make certain decisions. And in most cases, I believe when you do that, they will begin to change. When you keep trying to bail water, it doesn't work. You're just going to get more water in the boat. Start speaking to the real source of the problem, and you're going to get to the other side. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So speak to the wind. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. You can't see Jesus now, can you? Don't get all spiritual on me. You can't see Jesus right now, can you? But do you worship Him? Case closed. I love you, Jesus. Father, I pray for everybody hearing this message. Those here tonight, those who will hear it by tape, those that are going to hear it on the radio. Father, I just pray that this message would be like a light bulb that goes off on the inside. They would see this story in Scripture differently. They would see their own lives differently, begin to realize that they may need to change their method of operation to begin to see the results, to begin to see the manifestations of Your promises, because, Father, Your promises are based upon Your Word.